Hello and welcome to the Sight and Sound Summer School. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to our podcast. Now, the recording you're going to hear is from our summer school and is taken from the live feed that was transmitted to our attendees. So comments that you hear may not always represent the views of Sight and Sound Technology, its staff, management or board of directors. And now, here's session number 3, introducing Zoom Text Magnification Software with Ruth Gallagher Carr. So welcome to the Sight and Sound Summer School day number 3. I can't believe we're at day number 3 already. My name is Stuart Lawler. I work for Sight and Sound here in Dublin. And today it's a really international gig because we're in Dublin and we're in Glasgow with Ruth Gallagher Carr, who is our presenter for today's session. I'm the moderator for today's session. I'll be looking after the overall management of the session, looking after the chat and questions and answers, etc. Before we properly introduce Ruth Gallagher Carr, let me remind you all of how the Zoom platform works. You're in a virtual meeting room. If you wish at any point to ask questions, you may do so by typing into the chat window on Zoom, which you can access by pressing Alt and H, or you can raise your hand, and when you do that, we will see that you have a question and we will come to you in due course, and you do that by pressing Alt and Y. When Ruth is speaking, I will mute everybody else so that obviously we can all hear Ruth, and we will, at suitable times during the session, we will open the microphones so that people can speak. So if you have a question and you do not wish to enter it into the chat, you can speak when we let you know when we unmute the microphones. If there's anything else or if you're having any queries throughout the session, please do let me know. So I think that just leaves for me to introduce Ruth Gallagher Carr, and I'm actually going to mute everybody now. So Ruth Gallagher Carr is our business development manager working in Glasgow. She has many years of experience working in the assistive technology industry and has significant expertise in the area of low vision and learning disability. We're looking forward to a very engaging session with Ruth, and I'm sure there'll be lots of questions and interaction. So I'm going to hand over to Ruth, and Ruth, the floor is yours, and thank you for taking the session.
Thank you, Stuart. That was quite the introduction. I missed at the beginning. We are the master distributor of that enable blind and partially sighted people to access things like printed material or a computer. So this includes software such as Zoom Text, which is what I'm going to talk to you about today. So this is going to be very much an introduction to Zoom Text. Zoom Text comes in 3 forms: Zoom Text Magnifier, Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader, and Zoom Text Fusion. For the purposes of this webinar, I'm going to focus on the first two, so Zoom Text Magnifier and Magnifier and Reader. The main reason being, Fusion is a much larger software program, entirely worthy of its own webinar, which I'm sure we'll cover in the future, but for now, I'm just going to focus on Zoom Text Magnifier and Magnifier and Reader. I'm going to launch into my spiel here. I will just keep going. If there's a natural break in the flow, then I'll stop to ask for any questions. But otherwise, I'll see how we go. I'll keep going, and then there'll definitely be the opportunity for questions at the end. If anybody has any issues hearing me or has any issues hearing Zoom Text later on, then just pop something in the chat. Maybe hopefully we can make it all nice and clear. Okay. First of all, we're going to look at SMAP. In short, to adjust the look of their computer in order to be existing and as much as the program does assume a certain level of usable sight from the user, and that the person will be using a mouse for majority or all of their computer navigation. So here we have the Zoom Text Magnifier toolbar on the screen. Hopefully you can all see that. It's from here that we can adjust the way things on our screen appear by clicking on these buttons. So we've got a row of buttons on this toolbar, which gives us access to different features. Or I will say that there are keystrokes associated with each of these buttons for changes on the fly. So this means that you can alter the way your screen looks and the way applications look without having to keep popping back to the toolbar, the Zoom Text toolbar, to click on any buttons. So, for example, my very first button here on the Zoom Text Magnifier toolbar is our zoom level, and I can adjust this by clicking on an up button to go up, and it will go up to times 60 if you want it to, or down on the down button, or I can use this the keystroke. So the keystroke here is caps lock plus up arrow, and that's just going to take me up, and caps lock plus down arrow. Hopefully you'll see as we go through some of these that they have tried to make them reasonably logical. So hopefully caps lock plus up arrow and caps lock plus down arrow seems quite logical to you guys. What I'll also just mention is you can quickly turn off the magnification with caps lock plus enter, which is great for people who maybe just need the magnification for certain tasks or who just need it for particular programs. So you can quickly switch it on and off just by using caps lock and enter, which hopefully you can see that on your screens. So with the next button along, and what I'm going to do here is move along these buttons on the Zoom Text Magnifier toolbar and just go through each of them with you, because I think that's the best way to find out about the different features of Zoom Text. So this next button, which we've got titled Window, enables us to change the way Zoom Text magnifies. So obviously we've looked at it going up and down and the level of magnification. What this is going to do is change the way it magnifies. So what I'm going to do is open up this drop-down menu below the button. And what we can see here is our options for how Zoom Text is magnifying. So if I move over to the right, we've got a list of options here entitled Full, which is checked, Overlay, Lens, Line, and docked, which also has further options for top, bottom, left, and right. So I can either click to select one of these, and I'll go through these in a minute, or I can use one of our wonderful keystrokes, which is caps lock plus Z, to move around how Zoom Text is going to zoom. So that's why they've chosen Z for zoom. So caps lock plus Z. So currently, as I said, we're on full. We've got full magnification selected at the moment. So what this means is that my full screen is magnified, and as I move my mouse around to the bottom, top, left, right of my screen, it's going to move my view around the screen. Caps lock and Z is going to move us to, I always forget the name of this one. It's going to move us to overlay. So that gives us a hovering option down in our bottom left-hand corner, which is only magnifying part of the screen. So great if you want to retain some level of orientation with a standard magnified view around it. And I'll keep going through these. So caps lock plus Z to keep going through. We've got our lens. So a bit like using a magnifying lens around the screen, we can use that for just magnifying a certain section of the screen. We've got line. So we can use this to magnify obviously just line at a time. So all that's doing is magnifying a line, a section of the cross section of the screen at any one time, and it's following my mouse as I move it up and down the screen. Then we've got dock to the bottom, dock to the top. So again, what this is doing is magnifying any half of my screen and docking standard size view to the bottom, dock to the right, and then dock to the left, and then back to full. So we've got quite a few options hidden under there in terms of the way Zoom Text magnifies the screen. We also, I'm just going to go back to our window menu here. So obviously you may have noticed that all of those options are sat under the one monitor menu option here. So we've got a main menu And then we're opening up a sub-menu for the One Monitor options, which lists Shuffle, Overlay, Lens, etc. Below One Monitor, we do have something which is grayed out on my computer, which is called Multiple Monitors. So you can have various magnification options for multiple monitors. So if you're using a computer with a monitor attached to it, you can have it magnify in different ways across the two monitors. So, for example, you could have it magnified on one screen, but not on the other screen, or you can have it magnified across two screens, so your magnified view is extended across both screens. So there is a multiple monitor option there. It's just because I don't have multiple monitors on at the moment that it's grayed out, but that is there. I'm going to keep going through this menu here. So our next option in this menu is our freeze view. This is only available in the full mode, full magnified mode, and enables us to keep a particular area of the screen in view at all times. So just to demonstrate this, if I now select from the freeze view menu a new freeze view, that's quite difficult to say quickly, it gives me the option to now draw a box around a particular area of the screen, and I've just chosen my system tray to do that. And what that's now going to do is keep this screen, keep that little area down by the system tray in view at all times. So as I'm moving my mouse around the screen to different areas in the magnified view, it's keeping still a magnified view, but a static area of the screen there. So if you have a particular area with a particular bit of information that you want to keep in view at all time, then that's a great feature for that. So I'm going to go back to my freeze view, and I'm going to disable. To keep going through these options, we also have overview mode. So this can be used in different zoom modes, so full and docked, for example. And I think it does what it says on the tin. So it gives you an overview. So obviously, if we're in larger levels of magnification, you may want to reorientate yourself on the screen or within an application. So you can use the overview mode, and I'm going to use the keystroke for this, which is caps lock and O for overview. So caps lock and O, and what that's given me is a grayed out box, which is essentially my viewing area. So it's indicating my viewing area, which I can then place somewhere else on the screen, click, and it's going to move my view to where I placed that grayed out box. It's essentially a way of quickly jumping to somewhere else on a screen without having to maybe push your mouse there and lose your orientation in regards to the rest of the operating system. So that's your overview mode. Just to go back to our window menu, we've got our zoom window adjust tool. This is grayed out at the moment because I'm not in the right zoom mode. So what I'm going to do is change this to lens, I think. I'll change it to lens. What the zoom window adjust tool enables me to do in zoom modes such as lens or some of the docked ones is change the magnified area. So it again, I feel like it does what it says on the tin. So I can now use the zoom adjust tool to enlarge the size of my lens. And then now I've got a much larger lens to move around the screen. There is, again, a keystroke associated with that for you. I will now go back to my full magnified view. So that's essentially everything under our window menu options, and so basically everything that you can look at in regards to how ZoomText magnifies. We just have one more menu option at the bottom here, which is settings, which is where we can make some very specific adjustments. So I won't go into absolutely everything here, because otherwise we will be here all day. ZoomText can be adjusted to the tiniest little bit. But for example, in here, in the settings, you can change which magnification levels are available to you. So you can reduce that number or increase that number. We can also do things like adjust the way the view locator, so that gray box that we saw in the overview mode, looks. So we can adjust the way that looks, so it might be easier for you to find when you're using it. So bear in mind that there is all sorts of things hidden away in things like settings menus there. Okay, so Moving on, as we move along our ZoomText magnifier toolbar, we've got a bunch of buttons, color, pointer, cursor, and focus, which are all grouped together under the title Screen Enhancements. And as you go through these, you may well notice that they all have a very similar menu structure. So they pretty much start with a normal at the top, then scheme, then custom, and then a settings option, which is where you go in to set your custom options. So I'll just quickly go through these. The first one, color, is going to change your colors. Again, I'd like to say ZoomText, I think, is quite a nice intuitive program. So I hope some of these feel quite self-explanatory to you. So color changes the colors. So at the moment, I've got normal checked, you know, at the top of that menu, those menu options, normal, scheme, and custom. I've got normal checked, which means I've just got standard Windows colors being used on my computer. However, if I move down to scheme, what it's done is it's opened up a menu with a list of six built-in color schemes that I can use in my operating system. So the top one being invert brightness, which I'm just going to click on and select. So for those of you that can see, that has inverted all of my operating system. It will also affect any applications I have open. So there we have our inverted colors in Word. I've just opened up a Word document there. We can go in, we could select another scheme. So you could have something like blue dye, which gives you a blue wash over absolutely everything. Or we can go into custom. And as I say, custom is set up in the settings. So I'm going to go into the settings just to show you just how much you can, or what you can adjust for the custom options. And it really is everything. So you can choose your effect, whether it's an invert brightness or invert colors. You can choose whether it's a dye. You can then choose exactly which dye color that is, for example, or highlight color. If I choose light magenta, gosh, that's quite pretty. Then you can do that. And also adjust your brightness and your contrasts as well. So again, going back to this idea that ZoomText is fully customizable. What I'm going to do though is go back to normal, just because it's a little bit easier, I think, for a majority of people. So we've got our, just to go back to our color menu, we've got normal as an option. We've got those preset schemes that you can choose from, and you've got custom. So you could have that be whatever you wanted. And the settings option down here, just at the bottom of this menu, is just where you set exactly what you want your custom options to be. There's something grayed out there for those of you that have spotted it called Use Smart Invert, which I'm going to come to a bit later on. So we'll talk about that a bit later on. I'm going to move on to the next button, which is our pointer. Again, you'll see we've got in our drop-down menu for the pointer, we've got normal, scheme, custom, and settings. So I think you might have got the gist of this by now. What this is going to do is affect the way that my pointer, so my mouse pointer, looks. I could have it normal, and I'll just select that. So that's our normal mouse pointer, quite small white pointer with a black outline. Or we can choose something from the schemes that they've already built into ZoomText. And again, we've got six options. We could have something like giant green, which I quite like. We could have red with circle. So you have a circle around your pointer to help you find it. Sometimes I call these orientation tools, the things to help you find things. So we could choose something from the scheme, or we could choose a custom option. So again, if we went into our settings for our pointer, it gives us the option to choose lots of different custom options, such as the color, the size, whether it has a pointer locator, so that circle, for example, whether it has a circle around it or crosshairs that point towards it at certain times, so either it's all the time or whether it's when the pointer is moving or when it is just when you use one of these modifier keys. That's what it means down here. So you can have that these additional locator tools for your pointer just when you press one of these keys, Shift, Alt, Control, or the Windows key. So I'll just hit cancel on that. And I might stick with our red with circle. I think it's quite a nice one. We'll stick with that. So moving on to the next one, which is our cursor. Again, we've got normal, scheme, and custom options. So normal, What this affects, so the, for those of you that might not be sure what's meant by a cursor, what this affects is that blinking vertical line in a an edit box. So for example, I'm opening up Word. So something which affects the blinking vertical line that shows you where your focus is for typing. So at the moment I've got normal, and so there's nothing special about this particular cursor. If I go back to my Zoom Text toolbar, and if I choose something under the schemes, for example, I could choose blue wedge, which I'm going to check. And if I go back to my Word document, now I have two blue wedges, so two blue triangles pointing at the top and bottom of my cursor, helping me find it, essentially. Okay, and again, just as we've seen with the other options, I'm just going to minimize this Word document so it doesn't get too cluttered. We've got, again, the option to customize this, and again, I mean, you could go into as much detail as you wanted to with this, but you could have different types of locators. So they've got wedges, circle or frame, different sizes, different colors, whether it's there all the time, whether the locator is there all the time, or whether it's just when it's moving. And back to this idea of bringing in the locator when you press one of these modifier keys if you want to. Okay. Go back to our Zoom Text toolbar, and actually I'm just going to change my pointer to large yellow because I think that's a bit less cluttered. So our final screen enhancement on this list, so we've had color, pointer and cursor. Our final one is focus. So if I go to our drop down menu here, again we've got normal, scheme and custom. So normal would be pretty much nothing, because what this does is help you in menus. That's going to be the most basic example I'm going to use. So for example, we're in a drop-down menu here for the focus button, and the scheme I've got selected is thick green underline. So some of you may have noticed that where my mouse is hovering in a menu or in a list of things, it's providing a thick green underline, again, to help me see where my mouse is, to help orientate me within something. So if I chose red rectangle, then what it's going to do is, instead of my thick green underline, is provide a red rectangle, again, not all that easy to say, a red rectangle around what it is that I'm focused on to help me orientate where my mouse is focused within something like a menu. Okay. Again, we've got our custom options, and we can open up our settings to set that as a custom, to set our custom options, sorry, and again, we can change it to be things like a different coloured underline, a full block, or a different coloured frame, such as the different one to the red one we've got going on at the moment here. Okay, so I'm going to cancel on that. Those are our screen enhancements, so that's what they've grouped together. So the idea of being able to change the color scheme of the computer, change the way your pointer looks, change the way your cursor looks, and this focus tool, this focus enhancement that helps you navigate through things like menus. The last button here is our navigation button. And here's where you can adjust how Zoom Text responds to certain things. So because Zoom Text will always try to keep the active element, so what you're interested in view, it gives you the option to choose what those interesting things are. So again, as we explore Zoom Text a bit more later on, this might make a bit more sense, but Zoom Text is always going to try and help you as you're moving around, because it knows you're not seeing that necessarily the whole screen at any one time. So it is going to pull your focus to different things as they pop up, and try and help you in terms of orientating your view for you. So if I go into our navigation menus, we've got four tabs for this. We've got tracking, alignment, mouse and panning. Again, gosh, I'm not going to go into all of these, but we've landed on tracking. So talking about the idea of Zoom Text responding to certain things, this is where you can pick and choose what Zoom Text responds to. So at the moment, we've got mouse pointer checked because we want it to track our mouse. So as we move our mouse left and right or up and down, we want the view to follow it. We want Zoom Text to follow our mouse. The same with the text cursor. We've got that checked because when we're typing, we're interested in where our text cursor is. You know, we want to know where that is. So Zoom Text is going to follow that, as even as you start typing beyond the edges of the view of Zoom text, that the magnified view is going to keep following that cursor for you. Okay, so I would keep that checked. Another one I'll touch on here is the panning options here. So I think actually the default is enable smooth panning checked. My preference is to have it unchecked. What this means when it's checked is Zoom text is going to pan in a smooth way. And some people have called this a swoop. I'm quite tempted to call it a swoop. What it means is when something new and exciting happens on your computer, as I said, Zoom text is always going to try and take your attention to what it thinks you want to see or what you're interested in. So, for example, if I hit the Windows key on my keyboard, Zoom text is going to think, aha, Ruth wants to know what's going on in the start menu, so I'm going to hit that Windows key. And what Zoom text is going to do is swoop down there. Okay, so that's what smooth panning does. I'll do that again because not everybody spots it, but it's a swoop. If I uncheck smooth panning, what Zoom text is going to do is jump me there. So instead of the lovely swoop, it's going to jump me down to the Windows menu for me. I have to say, I used to work at RNIB, and it's one of the biggest complaints of Zoom text was it made people feel seasick. And so I used to run around just disabling smooth panning. Some people really like it. That helps them orientate themselves because it shows them exactly where their view is moving to. So that's in the navigation settings. That's where you can tweak how Zoom text responds to your mouse, you know, active elements. That's what I tend to call them. So I'm going to hit cancel on that. So everything that we've looked at so far can be applied all over. So, for example, when we were looking at the color contrasts or changing the color scheme, then that's going to apply for everything you have open. So it's going, if you are working in Word, it's going to be the same. If you're working in Excel, it's going to be the same. So if I am working in Outlook, it's going to be the same. So you can have it so that Zoom text is set to have the same settings irregardless of what it is that you are working on. However, you can also have it so that Zoom text has particular settings for particular applications. So obviously I'm in times 2 level magnification here, and I've got normal colors on. If I go down, however, and open up my Excel, you may have noticed already the color has changed. I have a configuration set for Excel, which means that it's going to switch automatically to a high contrast setting or inverted colors when I open up Excel. It's also changed my focus. So you might have remembered before we had it as a red box. Now I've got it with a thick green underline. So where my focus is for my Excel cell, there is a thick green underline. So bear that in mind. You can have application-specific settings, and with me closing Excel there, it's gone back to my normal colors. What I'll also say is there are also features built in which are specific to applications. So we saw earlier grayed out the smart invert feature. What this does is help you with images in internet browsers. Think of a snappy way of describing that. So if I open up my Chrome, for example, my Chrome is set to our wonderful website for its home page. So here I am in Chrome. And what I can do here is so I find it more comfortable, let's say, reading text on the internet or reading any text with a high contrast. So I'm going to turn that on, and I'm going to turn that on using a keystroke, actually, so I'm not having to jump back into my Zoom text toolbar. I'm going to use Caps Lock and C for color to turn my high contrast colors on. Oh, it's gone back to my wonderful pink because that was the last one that I used. Never mind. And then what we may notice up here is that I have a Chrome extension installed here. And what this means is that when I am using my high contrast colors, the images are going to stay true color. So you're not going to end up with any scary images of people's faces with that bizarre negative look to them. So if I go refresh my page in Chrome, You'll notice here that I've got high contrast text and background, but my images are true color. So hopefully helping to make the internet a little easier to browse when you're somebody who prefers maybe white text on black or a high contrast. So that's the smart invert feature. The reason it was grayed out before is because I didn't have an internet browser open. So that's the reason why that didn't appear. I'm going to go back to my normal colors, so caps lock and C. And essentially that wraps up everything that ZoomText can provide in terms of visual adjustments and support. So everything that's on that magnifier toolbar. So we've been through zoom level, the window menu, color pointer, cursor focus, and the navigation options there. We've got one other tab on there though, and that is tools. So we've got a couple of tools hidden down here. We've got the Finder tool and a camera tool. So the Finder tool helps you find things. What it does, it helps you find things, but also puts the results in a easy-to-navigate format. So if I go back to my Word document, for example, and I'm going to launch the Finder tool using the keystroke, which is Caps Lock Control and F for find. It's just thinking. So what this enables me to do is now search for text. So if I search for you, what it will do is search through everything that I've got open in terms of the document and list everything that's, or every sentence that's there with you there written in it, and also gives me the option to then navigate through those. Alternatively, and this is where I think it really excels, I'm going to open up Chrome again and go back to our website. It's great for searching the web, but searching a web page. So if I go back to my Finder tool, I'm going to use Caps Lock Control and F again. So now what I've got the option to do from a drop-down menu is filter what it's searching for, and I can filter for things like headings or links or images. So I'm going to select images, for example. I'm going to type in the name of one of our products, so Topaz. And what that's done is found me the image on this particular web page entitled Topaz. So really quick way and simple way and neat, I think, as I say, easy to navigate way of navigating a web page with the Finder tool. Then I'm going to go back to my ZoomText toolbar just to remind you of whereabouts we got to. And this final button, which is the camera button. What the camera button does is enable you to use ZoomText as a video magnifier. So when you combine ZoomText with an external camera, ZoomText can provide a video magnifier function. So it gives you fairly rudimentary functions like different color contrasts and obviously changes in magnification, but it does give you that live video magnification view. Just because of my setup here, I haven't been able to connect a camera. It's worth bearing in mind as a low-key, possibly low-cost option for video magnification as well, built in there. So that's ZoomText Magnifier. I am going to move on to ZoomText Magnifier and Reader, but shall I just see if anybody's got any questions at this point?
Yeah, thank you, Ruth. Let's see if we have any questions just before we do that, and to give Ruth just a break for a sec because she's done a huge amount of work already and lots of talking. Just to remind you about the next two sessions we have coming up as part of the summer school. As I said, we're on day three. Tomorrow we're going to be exploring the Focus Braille displays. If you've nothing better to do and you really have nothing else in your life, come and listen to that because I have to do it. There's much more interesting people on Friday because we have the Sight and Sound Surgery, where some of our team across the company will be online in our virtual meeting room to answer any of your questions. And I know we had a couple of questions in particular on Monday at Sharon's session that we're going to come back to on in the surgery on Friday. So if there's anything at all you want to ask the Sight and Sound team, come along on Friday at 3 p.m. Here in the UK and Ireland on Zoom. Now, I'm going to unmute everybody. Just before I do that, remember that everybody's microphone will be open. Anyone who wants is welcome to speak, but that can sometimes bring with it lots of noise and background sound. So If you are in a noisy environment or you're midway through a conversation with your best mate, maybe just put it on pause for a moment and we will unmute you. And just a message from Chris is coming in there on the chat around the smart invert. We'll get to that in a sec, Chris. So I'm going to unmute everybody if anybody has any questions. And Bernadette, you've raised your hand. Do you want to chat to us?
Oh, yes, please. I was just wondering, there's a very big echo, by the way, but anyway. Can you change the colour of the lens when you hover it over the text on the screen?
Yes. So actually, let me see if I can demonstrate this. So it sits within everything else. I don't know if you can see that. So it basically, it still affects everything, but only the magnification sits in the lens. So I think I may have just missed people there.
713, 455, 7. Hi Ruth, it's Sarah. Is it okay if I ask a question while it's great? I got caught out recently with my users tend to have two monitors, and the new settings for that have kind of put me back a bit because I didn't understand span and such. Like, the default is a weird thing, and I couldn't work out, adding to difficulty, I was remoted into this person's laptop trying to fix it and also trying to work out this new feature. Could you explain that a little bit, please? I know you've got it greyed out, which is going to be a problem.
Yes. I'm not sure how much I can chat about this other than there is certainly this settings to do with your operating system. So settings within Windows need to be in place first. So screen extensions and things like that. That might, I have to say I've missed about half of what you said, but that's sometimes the cause of a few issues. But also, let me just see. So yes, I don't think I have much that I can show you on here. What might be easiest is if you've got a particular set of problems, it might be worth chatting offline.
Guys, I'm just going to mute everybody there for a moment because we're getting a lot of background sound. So I'm going to unmute Ruth. But I'm not sure. There's some people, I think, with speakers and microphones, and we're getting a lot of echo and background sound. And we have a couple of questions on the chat that came in as well. So I'm going to deal with those first. First of all, Bernadette, thank you for your question. And yes, we did have some echo, which hopefully we have now sorted. Some messages from the chat. Tom asks, is there a version of ZoomText for the Mac? Some internet searches suggest that there is, but I cannot find a Mac version on your website.
There used to be.
Okay.
So that would be the short answer. There used to be, but there isn't anymore. Obviously, Apple are heavily pushing their accessibility agenda, so they've built on their inbuilt operating system functionality for VI support. Certainly worth having a look at, that's for sure.
Brilliant, thank you, Ruth. And Chris says, does the smart invert feature work in other applications as well as the web browser?
I don't know. I wonder whether one of my colleagues might know that. Gosh, I'm afraid I've only, it hasn't even occurred to me to try it in other applications.
Okay. And a message from Chris White says, any plans to have it in the Mac in future? I'd say the answer to that is no, and I'm just answering off the top of my head because I would think exactly as you say, Ruth, the Mac or Apple are promoting their own accessibility features.
Yes, I entirely agree. As far as I'm aware, there are no plans.
Okay. Bernadette says, can you change the shape of the lens?
It's just that's four sides. So, and square or rectangle.
Okay.
All right. Can I just say, one of my very helpful colleagues has just said that the Smart Invert feature is only available for Chrome.
Smart Invert only available for Chrome. So yeah. That answers the question that Chris had, I think. Okay, brilliant. Thank you, Ruth. So we're going to continue. We will take more questions, so don't worry if you have more. Just may I ask if anybody is using speakers with a microphone, if you at all can stick in a pair of headphones, it would be a really good idea because we get a lot of echo when we unmute people. So if you can at all do that, it would be very helpful. We go back to Ruth for the next session. Thank you, Ruth.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to head into my Zoom Text menu and just tell Zoom Text to restart with the Reader function. So I've got Run Zoom Text As and tell it to restart. So while it does that, I'll talk about Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader. So this builds on what we've already looked at. So Magnifier and Reader has been designed for people who benefit from changing things visually, just as we've been through. But might also benefit from some audio support for typing and navigating. So I've just launched Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader. I will say the reader bit does mean there is some speech. So it does mean that I might be competing with Zoom Text a little bit here. So bear with me and hopefully you will be able to hear it clear enough. We still have with our Zoom Text Magnifier Reader tool, toolbar, we still have our Magnifier tab and the Tools tab. So these have stayed the same and all the features have stayed exactly the same. So I am not going to go through all of these again. You can all breathe a sigh of relief. But what I will do is focus on this new tab, which is the Reader tab.
Voice.
Okay, so as clicked on our Reader tab, we heard some speech feedback there. So obviously what this does is build on the idea of these buttons that we have here in the Reader tab enable us to build on the idea of speech feedback or having text read back to you. So generally, as we go through these buttons, here is where you can change the speech settings for when you are typing and when you're using the mouse. So I'm going to go through these buttons with you. So the first one is the voice button. What the voice button does is enable us to turn him on and off. And I have to say, I do default to he just because I've got a male voice. If it was a female voice, I'd say she. So just bear with me on that one. So this is where I can disable him. It's also where I can change the voices. So for example,
voice settings, enable voice output chat.
If I go into my voice settings, I can choose a different voice. So I actually quite like Malcolm.
Malcolm Premium High, British.
So I can also change how fast Malcolm is. I can change his pitch and his volume. So you can really adjust the way Zoom Text sounds. We're continuing that theme of Zoom Text being highly customizable. So I'm going to say OK on Malcolm because I like Malcolm.
Zoom Text Magnifier Reader voice.
I have to say, I find it very calming. You can also install things like, for those of you that might be interested, the Scottish voices, so Stuart and Heather will work with Zoom Text. You can have them running through as well. So as we go through our buttons, again, I hope these are fairly self-explanatory. The next one along is the rate. So that's obviously changing how quickly or how slowly Malcolm's talking or whichever voice you have. So you get to know these voices quite well. So obviously you can make that faster or slower. I've got mine on, I'd say, on a reasonably slow setting just for demoing. It's a bit easier. And then these next buttons, we've got three buttons grouped together under Echo, which is our keyboard, mouse, and verbosity. So keyboard has a drop-down menu.
Keyboard.
And what we have here is options for how much Zoom Text is going to talk to you as you're using your keyboard, so as you're typing. And again, I hope these are relatively straightforward.
No echo.
At the top, we have no echo. Then we have keys, then we have words, then we have keys and words. So obviously as we're typing, we can have it so it's not echoing, so not talking. We can have it so that it's echoing keys, so individual letters, or we can have it so that it's only announcing things as you're typing a word. So as soon as you hit that space bar, it's going to announce the word, but it'll be quiet before that. or you can have both. You can have keys and words. So if you're somebody that is very particular about how you're typing, your spelling, for example, something you want to check as you're going along, then keys and words will give you maximum feedback. We also have settings menus for each of these. So again, you can go back, this whole idea of being able to adjust exactly how much Zoom Text talks to you when you're using your keyboard. If I select keys and words, I now have a whole selection of checkboxes where I can uncheck or check what Zoom Text is going to announce to me. So for example, modifier keys, editing keys, multimedia keys. The only one that's actually checked in the whole list of these are printable keys. I have to say my default setting is words, just because I find keys an awful lot of information to take in at any one time. So I'll click OK on that.
Magnifier reader, keyboard.
Okay, so then we have mouse.
Mouse, no echo checked.
In our drop-down menu, we have no echo. So what that means is it's only going to talk to you when you are interacting with something. So talking, that's what we've got happening now. Or we've got instant. I'm going to select instant.
Mouse echo set to instant mode. Reader. App reader. Zoom Text magnifier reader. Licensed to sight of mouse.
Okay, so what instant means is that Zoom Text is going to announce things instantly. Whether you are clicking or interacting with it or not, is going to announce what's under your mouse. So it's going to talk to you. If that's too much, you do have this hover option.
Mouse echo set to hover mode. Mouse.
And what hover mode means is that it will announce things if you leave your mouse hovering. So again, hopefully quite straightforward. So if I go into our settings menu.
Settings. Echo settings. Hover echo.
You might see that in this settings menu, and we've got hover selected, I've got the option to change my hover time. So I could have it so that I have to hover for a good
0.6
2 seconds until it actually announces what it is that my mouse is hovering over. So remember, you've got those three options: no echo, instant echo, and hover echo. Also within these options, you've got the option, so many options, you've got the option to reduce what it's going to announce when it does actually talk to you. So whether it's echoing the word only or words in the line or object, or, you know, the whole thing. So I'm going to click OK on that.
Reader, mouse echo disabled.
So I've gone back to no echo just because obviously I'm demoing and I don't want to compete with Zoom Text. So this final one in our echo group is verbosity. So what verbosity does is give you three options: low, medium, and high. And what this is adjusting is how much information Zoom Text is giving you whenever it does talk to you. So at the moment, I've got it on low. So essentially, it's only telling me what that thing is, verbosity. Medium will add information, and high will add on even more information. So things like what the keystroke is associated with that item, how you can interact with that item, that's going to increase as you increase your verbosity. If I go into the settings.
Echo settings, low verbosity, pronounce items with minimum details.
Okay, so it's if I arrow through these.
Medium verbosity, pronounce items with moderate details, radio button for access key press, Alt plus M.
Okay, so he's already started giving us more information. And for those of you that have a very sharp eye, might have noticed that we have in our verbosity settings window a whole selection of checkboxes, and more of these are becoming, which are all features, of the operating system. More and more of these are becoming checked as we increase the level of verbosity. So we are checking more and more boxes for things that it's going to announce whenever you select something. Again, just because I'm demoing, I'm going to keep this on low verbosity.
Low verbosity. Pronounce items with Zoom Text magnifier reader. Verbosity.
Okay, so it feels like I rattled through that quite quickly, but that's where we can change when and how much Zoom Text talks. So we've got our voice, our rate, the keyboard, the mouse, and the verbosity settings set there. Now, at the end of this toolbar, we've got a couple of buttons. So we've got a few tools that can be used to enhance the use of the speech feedback. So they're tools that we've got at the end here. And they've titled them reading tools. We've got a few tools actually grouped under the app reader.
App reader.
We've got three things which fall under the app reader tool. We've got, they're listed under here, the app view, the text view, and the speak it tool. I'm going to hop out of the toolbar here to demonstrate these because I think most people would be using these without hopping in and out of the toolbar. So I'm going to go into Word to demonstrate these.
Test Word.
Okay, so I've just got a Word document open. It's some default text from Office, actually. It's something they pop in there that you can populate your Word document with, so I'm afraid it's not very interesting. The first tool I'm going to demonstrate is the Speak It tool. So I'm going to use a keystroke to activate the Speak It tool, Caps Lock Alt and S. Caps Lock Alt and S.
Reader, Speak It tool.
Okay, so now what I have is my cursor. I have my pointer, sorry. I have my pointer with a little speech bubble next to it. And this means that my Speak It tool is activated. And I can click on a word.
In bed. Video. Produced.
So I hope that you can hear at least some of that. What it's going to do is speak out the word that I'm clicking on, essentially. So let's call it spot reading, perhaps. If you've got a document which is maybe lots of different fonts or very bad contrast in certain areas, what the Speak It tool enables you to do is to check the odd word. Okay, I'm going to exit out of the Speak It tool. And the next thing we're going to look at is the text view and the app view for the app reader. So these are really tools to help people maybe review larger sections of work. Or if you've written an essay and you want to have it read back to you, or you've got a lot of research to do at work, then these are designed for heavy reading. So if we look at the app read, the app view app reader first, and again I'm going to use the keystroke, which is Caps Lock Alt and A for app reader, or app view, sorry, Caps Lock Alt and A.
Video provides a powerful way to help you prove your point. When you click online video.
Okay, so what this has done, it started ZoomText reading in the application, so it's reading in Word, hence the name, the app view for app reader. It's given me a focus, so this is a red box, which is highlighting the word that's being read as it moves along, and then obviously it's reading the thing out, and it will keep reading it until I tell it to stop. You can change that focus, so just as you can in everything in ZoomText, you can change that focus to be an underline or a different color or whatever it is you find most helpful. So that's the app reader in the app view, because that's reading to you within the application. If I exit out of that, what we also have is the text view. So the app reader with the text view is accessed using the keystroke Caps Lock Alt and T.
Video. You can paste in the embed code for the video you want to add. You can also type a...
So what that's done is lifted the text out of Word, put it into this very clean new window, which is at a Zoom level that I've chosen, different color contrast that I've chosen with a different highlight that I like, and it's going to read that to me. So again, going back to this idea that if you've got a document with an awful lot of... pictures or fonts, something that's quite cluttered, maybe a web page or a PDF, that format of PDF, then it will pull the text out of that and put it into the text view. So this is the text view of the app read, and that's what it means. It's pulling the text out for you. So those are the two. If you've got a lot of reading, they're great tools to bear in mind. So the app reader tools for the app view and the text view. If I escape out of here, and if we go back to our toolbar for ZoomText, what I'll do is I'll tell you about this final one on the end, which is called Zones. This is an interesting one. So what Zones enables you to do is to quickly navigate to a particular area of an application and have ZoomText jump you there and then read it out to you. So the example I always use is a database, which might be broken up into different areas, and you want to be able to jump to a particular area quite quickly to gain information from that area of that database quite quickly. What I'll do is I will go back to my Word document.
Test Word.
I'm just going to maximize this. I'm going to go to...
Text Magnifier Reader, App Reader.
I'm going to... tell it to set up a new zone, just so you can see what I mean. I think this is maybe the easiest way to describe this. So I've gone to the Zones button in my Zoom Text toolbar, and I'm selecting New from the Zones menu.
Test Word. Create Zone.
And what it's done is it's given me the ability to draw a box. So I'm going to drag and draw a box around part of my Word menu toolbar.
Zone name.
And what that's done is opened up another window where I can name what this zone I want this zone to be called, and I can adjust the hotkey in order to trigger it if I want. But what I'll do is I'll call this Word Menu. I'll keep all the defaults as they are. So our hotkey is Caps Lock Alt and 1. If we did a second zone, it would be Caps Lock Alt and 2. And I think you can do up to 10 different zones. I'm going to say OK.
Zoom Text Magnifier Reader. Test Word.
So I've gone back to my Word document. Let's say I want to jump up to my menu. I'm going to do Caps Lock Alt and 1.
System Customize Toolbar Auto Save Safe Control. Plus S card.
Okay, so it's not particularly interesting, not a great example, but hopefully it's shown you how the zones will jump you to that particular zone that you've drawn, that you've defined, and then it will start reading out the content of that zone for you nice and quickly. So as I say, if you've got a database or if you've got somewhere where you have a particular area where it would be helpful to access information there nice and quickly with the use of a keystroke, then zones is for you. That's what that tool is for. So I'm going to go back to my Zoom Text toolbar. So that's everything featured on the Reader tab. We've gone through those. I'm going to pop back to our Tools tab. So we've already seen that the Magnifier tab is exactly the same as it was in Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader. But if I go back to our Tools tab, you will notice that we have Finder and we have Camera. Those tools are still there, but we've got a couple of additional tools there now, which are Background Reader and Recorder. So the Background Reader goes back to this idea of if you're somebody with a lot of text to get through, a lot of things that you want to read or ingest, you know, a lot of kind of literature you need to get through, the Background Reader can help with that. So again, I'm going to go back to using my keystrokes. So what the Background Reader essentially does is enable you to listen to text, listen to a document, for example, but at the same time, you can then work within that document or you can work away from that document while Zoom Text keeps reading it back to you. So where we were looking at the app readers, those were obviously reading within the application or reading within the text view, but all we could do is sit there and listen. If we stopped, if we wanted to edit anything, we'd need to exit out of those app reader applications, so those app reader tools. So what the Background Reader does is enable us to listen, but also get on with other things.
Test Word.
And it does this by accessing the data on your clipboard. So what I'm going to do is tell it to copy the text I have in this Word document. So just Control A and then Control C. And that's copied it to my clipboard. And what I can do now is use my Background Reader, which I'm going to activate using the keystroke, which is Caps Lock Control and B for background. So Caps Lock Control and B.
Video provides a powerful way to help you prove your point. When you click online video, you can paste in the embed code for the video you want to add. You can also type a keyword to search online for the video that best fits your document to make your document look professionally produced. Word provides header, footer, cover page, and text box.
Okay, so hopefully you could see there that as it kept reading along, it's going to keep reading that fascinating bit of text. I could still edit the document while I was listening, or I could have gone away to the internet and looked things up on the web as well at the same time. It also brings up this little Background Reader toolbar, which you can use to jump back and forth with things. So that's your Background Reader. And then our final extra little tool, just to go back to our toolbar here. Our final tool here is the Recorder. So what the Recorder tool does is enable you to take the same data, so the same text that you've got on your clipboard, but create an audio file of it. So if I go back to my Word document, I'm going to use the keystroke for the recorder, which is Caps Lock Control and D. Caps Lock Control and D.
Zoom Text Magnifier Reader. Zoom Text Recorder. Track name video provides a powerful way.
Okay, so what this has done is brought up the Zoom Text Recorder menu, and then from here I can name the track. I can choose the file type, and it's basically going to save it so you can then transfer it onto a mobile device if you wanted to, listen to it on the bus, or just retain it for information. It's up to you. But that's what that recorder tool does for you. Okay, so that's everything in Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader. What I will say is we've talked a lot about keystrokes and generally a lot about Zoom Text. So if you instantly forget everything you've heard today and haven't got, however long I've been rattling on for, you haven't got that time in your diary to watch this webinar again, if you go to the Zoom Text menu,
Zoom Text Help and Learning,
and you go to the Zoom Text Help and Learning, if I just open up Zoom Text Help.
Zoom Text menu. Zoom Text 2019 Help. Welcome to Zoom Text.
Okay, so you'll find an awful lot of information here, including a search function if you're looking for a particular feature within Zoom Text, so that's useful to know about. What I'll also point you towards is
Zoom Text Magnifier Reader, Zoom Help Command Keys.
Is the Command Keys option in the Zoom Text menu.
Zoom Text Command Keys, Search.
Okay, I would not recommend fiddling around with these too much, but it is, if you do forget a keystroke, or they call them command keys, if you forget something, it's a really simple way. You've got a search option there. You can search for a particular keystroke that you've forgotten, and they're all listed there. I would, as I say, I wouldn't recommend going around trying to change them too much, which you do have the option to do here as well. But yes, so bear that in mind. You've got the learning tools built into Zoom Text as well as this command search feature. So that's
Zoom Text Magnifier Reader, Zoom Text Menu.
So that's everything that I would go through with Zoom Text Magnifier and Reader, and I'll leave it open to people with any questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Ruth. Absolutely huge amount of information there. Really lots for people to know, and I'm sure we've all learned lots from there. Bernadette has put a message up and says, I like the background reader. So she just put that in the chat. I'm going to unmute everybody now in case people would like to actually verbally ask some questions to Ruth. So you have the option to do that. As I unmute your microphones now. Any questions for Ruth?
I'm going to close it now because they're in the final bit.
Anybody, we're just to say that we can't hear everybody now, so everyone's audio is on. If anyone has any questions for Ruth?
Yes, I have a question. It's Bernadette.
Hi, Bernadette.
Hello again. I did put on the chat, but I might have put it on a bit late. Can you use this program with a braille embosser?
Just so it's nearly finished.
And a braille embosser, so are you looking to produce braille text in what way?
Well, I use Supernova at work, and there's something called, can't think what it's called now, it's Supernova, and you can put braille in it.
Well, I don't know. Just,
oh. Sorry, I think I just missed your last bit there. Sorry, Bernadette.
Did you use something at work? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm struggling with the background sound because I'm hearing impaired. I use Dolphin Supernova at work, and I use there's a braille translator built within the program. I wondered if Zoom Text had one.
So it would be Zoom Text Fusion would probably be the answer to that, which, as I mentioned before, it's kind of with that. Contains JAWS as a screen reader and full braille functionality as well. So that would be its Supernova equivalent.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Bernadette?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, brilliant. Any other questions from anybody? I take it that's a no. So I'm going to thank everybody for your attendance at today's session. Special thanks, of course, to Ruth Gallagher-Carr for a really engaging presentation. So Ruth, many thanks again. Just to say that tomorrow we're back at 3 p.m. We'll be looking at focus Braille displays. So if you're interested in Braille and how they work with mobile devices and how they work with screen readers on Windows, then that's the session for you tomorrow. And then on Friday, if you'd like to join us, our tech surgery, where some of our some of the staff from right across our company are going to be here in our virtual clinic, and you'll be able to listen in and ask your questions. So tech surgery, 3 o'clock on Friday. And this session from Ruth will be available as a podcast later this evening on our podcast feed, which I have posted on the chat link. Thanks everybody for listening, and thank you for all the lovely messages that are coming in on the chat, by the way. People are really enjoying the session today and have really enjoyed it. So thank you again to Ruth. We look forward to talking to you all tomorrow and hopefully on Friday as well. Thanks a million, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you'd like more information on Sight & Sound products or services, visit us on the web at www.sightandsound.co.uk or call us in the UK on 01604 798070 or in Dublin on 01690 9720.